We will call the meeting of the Senate Committee on Transportation and Housing to order. And since we do not have a quorum, we will ask all members to come to the chambers for a quorum. We'd like you to turn off your cell phones and take your conversations outside if you have those kinds of things. We will hear all the bills, and we only have four bills, but we're going to hold the roll open for 15 minutes after the last bill in order to give members opportunity to come back and cast their votes. And we have one item on our consent calendar. We will vote on that when we have a quorum. It's item number four for the members. Okay. So as a subcommittee, we'd like to call our first author. She is here. Assemblywoman Eggman, AB 295. And Assemblywoman, you have the floor. It's item one.
Good afternoon, senators. Today I'm here to present to you AB 295 that will create what we're going to call Tyler's Law to ensure that tandem jumpers and parachute packers have proper certification. Last year, 18-year-old Tyler Turner traveled from Las Banas to Skydive Lodi Parachute Center to celebrate his birthday. Tyler was paired with tandem jump instructor Yang Kwan, also a young man. Their parachute failed to deploy, and both Turner and Kwan were killed. The owner of the parachute told the media that Yang Kwan had more than 700 jumps under his belt, but it was soon discovered that the instructor was not properly certified by the United States Parachute Association, which is in violation of FAA regulations. This is not the first time there has been an accident at that center as a result of what could be termed direct negligence. The FFA, who lives in this community, this center is my community, and frequently it felt like an unusual amount of times you would hear about people dying jumping out of planes in this center. If you drive up 99, oftentimes you'll see them hovering over the freeway, and it can also create some anxiety. So when we heard about yet again somebody dying, we looked into what could we possibly do. And what we discovered, of course, is that the FFA controls people jumping out of planes in the airspace, so there was not much we could do. When we look further, we realize that this center has had over $900,000 in fines against them for neglecting maintenance on more than 2,000 flights. Just last May, a parachute plane carrying 17 people clipped a pickup truck and crashed into a vineyard. And I would also say that many of the people who have died jumping out of planes have fallen into that same vineyard. And imagine what's happening for that farmer who's out there farming. So while the FFA doesn't keep really good records on what sites have more frequent deaths than others, we know that in 2015, about 20 people died jumping out of planes. Not in 2015, but just looking at media reports, we have discovered at least 13 deaths that have occurred at the Lodi site, in addition to multiple people being hurt. So while the federal agency is big and sprawling, they have decided not to go after and try to collect that $900,000, and thereby the operator just basically says, I'm not doing it. We have a local reporter who's been kind of following this for quite a while, and the guy will just hang up and say, not doing it, sorry. So what we came up with, what we could do, was that we could say, there's going to be a state law that says you must follow federal law, or else the state will be able to have some teeth to come after you to make sure that you that people who are properly certified to tandem jump and properly certified to pack parachutes are the ones that should be doing it. And with me today, I have Tyler's mom. Francine.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chairman and Committee, for having me today. My name is Francine Turner, and I'm here representing my son, Tyler Turner, born and raised in Los Banos, California. My son was taken from our family in a tragic skydiving accident on August 6, 2016, during a tandem skydiving jump at the Lodi Parachute Center. Tyler was extremely bright and a caring young man, very involved in his community and church, and just graduated high school with a 4.2 GPA. He was headed to UC Merced on a full scholarship to become a biomedical engineer. He was even starting as a sophomore due to his hard work and his preparation. This is who he was, loved by our community and always ready to lend a hand or an ear to anyone in need. He had three friends and they decided to go skydiving this day for graduation and birthday celebration before going off to college. I went with him and wanted to share in this adventure as we often did many things together. So I was there on the ground when he did not land in the landing zone. We immediately went searching in the vineyards where he had landed, and it was there that they told me the news. My son's life was cut short due to negligence of the people running the skydiving business. We trusted that they would allow only experienced and certified instructors to accompany my son on this very first skydiving adventure. Finding out after the fact that this instructor was not properly certified was unbelievable. And if he had been, it would more than have prevented Tyler's death. This is a terrible price we pay for a business environment where the regulators have no teeth and where those who would hold people accountable have no power under the law to do so. Since the tragedy, I have been contacted by many experts who said this all could have been avoided had those responsible for my son's jump just taken the time and effort to hire properly certified employees. At the very least, I believe every skydiving center should be held responsible to these minimal standards. People who are interested in taking up skydiving or just trying it out once or twice know it's a risky sport, and we take those risks knowingly, but trust that the experts are going to be properly certified to do their jobs and that rogue businesses wouldn't be allowed to continue to operate in flagrant violation of law and regulation. There is nothing that can change what happened to my son, but definitely we can make a change for the future and save some lives by passing this law, Tyler's Law. It is a noble step in this direction and it will give some justice to my son. And thank you all for your time and hearing me today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other speakers in favor of this bill, please come forward. Speakers opposing this bill. There is a motion on the bill in favor of it. Any questions?
Senator Gaines.
Comment if I could. Yes, you may.
I want to thank Assemblymember Eggman for bringing the legislation forward, and my condolences to your family and to your son. And I think this is just the right fix so that hopefully that never happens again. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Before you close, I'd like to call the roll, please.
For quorum.
Yeah.
Senator Bell?
Here.
Bell present. Kinella? Allen? Yeah. Allen present. Atkins? Here. Atkins present. Gaines? Present. Gaines present. McGuire? Mendoza? Morrell? Roth? Aye. Roth present. Skinner? Thydak?
Present.
Thydak present. Wachowski? Wiener?
Present.
Wiener present.
We have a quorum. Sir Roth, can you make your motion? You made a motion. Senator, ready to close.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Senators, for hearing this today, and thank you to Francine for coming. When we introduced this bill, we hadn't reached out to the family. We hadn't heard from them, but they heard after we introduced the bill and came forward and asked that we would name it Tyler's Law, and we are very happy to do that. So in essence, AB 295 will establish a duty for operators to ensure that their tandem instructors and parachute providers, packers, are properly certified as required by federal law and provide local law enforcement with the necessary teeth to be able to enforce the law. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. I just want to express my condolences and I hope this law makes a difference for, and I'm sure it will, for people in the future, okay, to protect people from the same thing happening. Thank you for being here. So we'll call the roll, please.
This is Assembly Bill 295 by Assemblywoman Eggman. The motion is due pass. Senator Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Kinella? Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Gaines?
Aye.
Gaines, aye. McGuire? Mendoza? Morrell? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner? Vidoc?
Aye.
Vidoc, aye. Witkowski? Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye. 7-0.
Okay, seven votes. We'll leave the roll open for absent members, and but seven votes is enough. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we'll go to the next item. Item two is AB 915. And Assemblymember Ting is here. You have the floor, Assemblyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. AB 915 is a San Francisco district bill. It allows San Francisco to apply its inclusionary zoning ordinance to developers who are using the housing density bonus. I did want to start off by just thanking you, Mr. Chair, and your team, and also my senator, Senator Wiener, for working with us to develop amendments. The amendments state that we will be doing a feasibility study before allowing the city to do this program, that the feasibility study will be done by June 30th of 2018, and that HCD will also be doing an annual review of their original feasibility study to ensure that the proposal remains financially feasible for developers in San Francisco, and we're happy to take that amendment. And we believe that amendment will also help us remove most of the opposition on the bill. Again, you all know the housing crisis that we are all facing. We want to be building more units using that density bonus, but at the same time, we also need to be ensuring that we're building affordable units as well. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Paul Yoder as our witness from the city and county.
Thank you. Speakers in favor.
Mr. Chairman, other members, Paul Yoder, Schuyter, Antwi, on behalf of Mayor Edley and the City and County of San Francisco, the mayor sends his best. He is, in fact, in support of this bill. At the end of the day, this is a district bill, district housing bill for San Francisco. The mayor and the city look forward to working with every member of this committee on the housing package later this summer. Hopefully, we can get that done, too. I'd urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers in favor, please come forward. Okay. Speakers opposed. Please come forward.
Mr. Chair and members, Shanta Peking on behalf of the California Apartment Association. We have been opposed, but in light of these new amendments, we think the bill is heading in the right direction, but as we spend some time reevaluate them, but we appreciate the member taking these amendments. Thank you.
Other opponents, please come forward. Any other comments? Seeing none. Comments from Senator Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank Assemblymember Ting for working with me and my office to craft this amendment. When this bill was first introduced and pre the amendment that the author has accepted today, I was not able to support that bill. And I am a strong supporter of the affordable housing density bonus. I think it's arguably perhaps the most powerful tool we have to create not just more housing, but more affordable housing without any taxpayer money. And I know that the author is also a supporter of the density bonus. This bill, in my view, I think could have unintentionally, depending on how San Francisco responded to it, resulted in fewer density bonus units being created. And so that was my concern. The author and I have worked together over the last number of weeks to craft this amendment. It's not the one that's listed in the report. It's a different amendment that the author has described, and I think we provided it to the committee that will require that feasibility study followed by an annual review. And San Francisco's approach would only be able to be in effect if HCD determines that it's not going to reduce the total number of density bonus units, including the affordable units. And so with that amendment, I'm comfortable supporting the bill. If San Francisco is able to move forward with a plan that does not negatively impact the number of density bonus units produced, then it'll be okay. If they produce a plan that reduces the number of density bonus units, then HCD will not sign off on that plan, and it will not go into effect. And so as amended, I will be supporting this bill.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Senator Gaines. Ted Gaines.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to get some clarity because, our analysis showed opposition by the Cal Chamber and the California Association of Realtors, but we just found out about this amendment. I mean, literally, I'm just looking at the verbiage for that. So and I didn't see the realtors here, so I'm trying to get clarity in terms of where they are on the bill.
Senator Gaines, Lawanda Lacey for the California Chamber of Commerce. I'm not with the realtors. We were not aware of this amendment coming forward, and we have not analyzed it, so therefore we are unable to share our position at this point relating to the amendments.
Okay, so still opposed?
At this point, still opposed unless amended based on that.
Thank you for the clarification. I don't know if Assemblymember Ting would like to respond.
So for us, in our our local apartment association and realtors, we've been working very, very closely with them, not just on this bill, but also on our inclusionary housing ordinance. This bill in particular has been able to unify our entire Board of Supervisors, and if you know our Board of Supervisors, that's fairly unique. And we've been able to really bring the various sides of the community, including developers, together. So I believe with this amendment, which asks housing community development to certify that this is financially feasible, meaning that this will not have a negative impact on development and using the density bonus, we believe that this will really answer or satisfy any concerns about sort of any potential negative market impacts. We're one of the only jurisdictions that actually does inclusionary housing. So what this does is this allows the inclusionary ordinance to be applied to the density bonus. So given the senator's concerns, we wanted to make sure that those could be applied in a way that would not have a negative impact on development. So we believe that with HCD doing that feasibility study, that's enough to demonstrate. And again, if they say no, then the city cannot use the ordinance.
Okay.
So if HCD believes that it's not financially feasible, they can put a stop on it till the next year. They'll come back every year because obviously, as we know, real estate markets are cyclical. So in a very hot, robust market, it may be feasible, but as the markets cool down, maybe it's not. And so I think that's really the nice part of the tool is it's very much respecting the market and constantly checking back in with the market to make sure that there's no adverse impact on development.
Okay. Great. I'd like to see a little more clarity from who is opposed as it moves forward, and maybe they'll come off. But.
Yes, and we hope with the amendments that we'll be able to, again, remove
the
position. We know that the amendments were shared rather late, so we weren't able to circulate as widely, but we've been able to really have a fairly unified front with the business community in our city on this issue.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions from the committee? Okay. Seeing none. We need a motion.
I'll move the bill as amended.
As amended. Assemblymember, you may close.
Thank the committee, thank the senator for his work, and just respectfully ask for my vote.
Thank you. Okay, motion. Call the roll, please.
Assembly Bill 915 by Assemblymember Ting. The motion is due. Pass as amended. Senator Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Canella?
No.
Canella, no. Allen? Allen, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Gaines? Gaines, no. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Morrell?
No.
Morrell, no. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner? Vidak? Vidak, no. Wachowski? Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye.
We have six votes in favor. We'll leave the roll open.
Thank you very much.
Assemblymember Bloom, you have item on the agenda. There's AB 1568. Assemblymember, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. And Senators, I'd like to begin by accepting the amendments that have been proposed by Senate Governance and Finance. This is the NIFTY Act. That's correct. The Neighborhood Infill Finance and Transit Improvement Act of 2017. And you can thank my witness for that. I didn't come up with that acronym, but I think it's a good one. This bill will provide local jurisdictions with the additional authority needed to finance infrastructure and dedicate funds to affordable housing within their communities. It builds on the existing law, the Enhanced Infrastructure Finance District law, and allows bond financing using local shares of general sales and use tax in addition to incremental property tax revenue. The bill sets specific parameters for local jurisdictions in order to qualify for this special type of financing and requires the EIFD to be located in an infill site and ensures a minimum affordable housing production standard across the district. As a voluntary program, this bill creates new opportunities for local governments and the private sector to work together to revitalize communities, create good jobs, and build affordable homes while meeting the state's landmark greenhouse gas reduction targets. With me today as a witness is Mia Kung of the Resource Legacy Fund.
We have speakers in favor.
Good afternoon. My name is Mia Kong. Thank you, Chair and committee members. AB 1568 represents the work of a diverse multi-sector coalition. The bill creates a new voluntary tool for local jurisdictions to fund local infrastructure and affordable housing projects. Given the state's housing crisis and the ongoing needs of local communities to build and maintain necessary infrastructure, it is incumbent that our local jurisdictions be given appropriate flexibility and authority to utilize their own local share of taxes. AB 1568 will usher in new opportunities for local governments and the private sector to work together to revitalize communities, create good jobs, and build affordable homes while still meeting the state's landmark greenhouse reduction targets. We respectfully ask for your aye vote today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Other speakers.
Sandy George, representing the American Planning Association. We're also in support. We think this is really critical to help buy down the cost of infill housing. Infrastructure is one of the biggest cost factors that we have, and we think this is very important, so we urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Other speakers in favor, please come forward. Seeing none. Speakers opposed? Opposition? There's a motion. And other questions from the committee? None? We have a motion. You may close. You may close. We have a motion.
I respectfully ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Okay. And we can call the roll, please.
Assembly Bill 1568 by Assemblymember Bloom. The motion is due pass as amended. Senator Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Cannella? Allen? Aye. Allen, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Gaines?
No.
Gaines, no. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Morrell?
No.
Morrell, no. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner? Vidak?
No.
Vidak, no. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye. Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye.
Okay. Seven votes in favor. We'll leave the roll and advance some members. We have a consent calendar item, members. It's AB 637. Assemblymember Gloria. Can we have a motion on the consent calendar, please? Motion? Okay. It's a motion. Call the roll, please, on the consent calendar.
On the consent calendar, which consists of file item number 4, Senator Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Cannella? Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Gaines?
Aye.
Gaines, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner?
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Vidak?
Aye.
Vidak, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye. Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye.
It's 11 votes in favor. Leave the door open for absent members. Let's call and get this, get these people out of here.
Yeah, we can open them now if you'd like.
We can lift the calls on the other items. Item 1, please. There we go. Okay, lift the call. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we're done.
We're going to go through it, really. File item 1, Assembly Bill 295 by Assemblywoman Eggman. The motion is due pass. Senator Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Skinner?
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye.
12 to 0. That motion carries.
That's it.
Item 2, AB 915.
AB 915 by Assemblymember Ting. The motion is due pass as amended. Senator Skinner?
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Wachowski?
Not voting.
Then it's 7-4.
Seven votes in favor. Passes.
That's up your one on that bill.
All right, I'm done.
Passes. Next item, item three.
Assembly Bill 1568 by Assemblymember Bloom. The motion is due pass as amended. Senator Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Mendoza? Skinner?
Which apologies?
1568.
Bloom's. Bloom.
Aye.
Skinner, aye. 93.
That's votes, 9 votes in favor. Motion passes. Consent calendar?
On the consent calendar, which consists of file item number 4, Senator Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Mendoza? 12-0.
That passes 12-0. That is the last item. We're adjourned.